Psalm 128, there are six verses in this psalm. We'll read all six of the verses. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Psalm 128. We're using a King James Bible tonight, just in case you didn't. Our visitors, our guests will say, what? They don't always. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this evening, this opportunity to gather together. Father, here in the middle of the week, to withdraw from the busyness and activities of this life. Father, spend some time with one another and just fellowship around the Word of God. We thank you for this psalm tonight that we're about to study. We pray, God, for the leadership of your Spirit to give us understanding and, Father, to open up our eyes. We pray, Father, you bless us from what David wrote, these words contained in this psalm. Lord, that they might be an encouragement and a blessing to us. You said, Father, all your word is written for our admonition and for our learning. And so, Father, I pray you give us something tonight that would encourage and increase our faith, and that, Father, would help us to be determined to live better, live more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless each and every one. Father, we all come in with different needs and burdens that we carry, different luggage from this world and this life. And I pray, Father, that you would show us that you are sufficient for all things. God, help us to put into practice the things we're going to read and see tonight, that our lives might be blessed and used of thee. Blessed we ask now in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. As we look tonight at Psalm 128, where you're in the ninth of the 15 psalms that are called the Songs of Degrees. Again, after Psalm 119, that big long psalm, the next 15, as you start with Psalm 120, right under the heading it says, A Song of Degrees. And we'll not go back over that. Those are 15 different psalms in five groups of three, and they have specific meanings. But what we find here tonight is that following Psalm 127, the theme kind of gets back on track. If you'll remember what we said last week when we looked at Psalm 127, it was the only psalm out of the 15 that never mentioned Israel in its verses. No mention of the house of David, no mention of Jacob, no mention of the tents of Kedar, no mention of anything nationalistic concerning Israel. Psalm 127 was the only of those 15 songs of degrees that does not mention Israel. This psalm gets back to that theme, the last two verses in Psalm 128, verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days. Verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, peace upon Israel. So we get back in this psalm to the nationalistic theme of these songs of degrees. Again, these 15 songs have to be looked at through the eyes of prophecy. There is much practical application in every psalm. It's written for our admonition and learning. But again, when it mentions Zion, Jerusalem, Israel, there's a strong prophetic element that David, writing even 1,000 years B.C., wrote things that have not yet happened on this earth right now. The Bible's got that all figured out and planned out ahead. And so we see that nationalistic element comes back into play at the end of Psalm 128. But we also see that in the beginning of this psalm, the theme of the end of 127 carries over. Look back at 127 verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Psalm 127 ends with the home, with the family. And that carries over as we get into Psalm 128 and the first three or four verses, where it talks about verse 3, thy wife, thy children. Verse 6, thy children's children. And so the theme of chapter 128 is twofold. It talks about home life, and it talks about the homeland. Verse 1 through 4 talk about home life, about our life within the walls of our home. Mentioned Brother Sajak, even Sajak, that's the guy on Wheel of Fortune, isn't it? All right, maybe it's the same last name. Anyways, we mentioned, he said, even before he got saved, mom's house was always a refuge. Always a place to go to get away from the filth and the crime he was involved in. Even with unsaved parents, it was still that refuge. How much more so when your home is a Christian home? That you can find that refuge from the world and get away and make that home everything it should be. So verse 1 through 4 talk about the home life, and then verse 5 and 6 talk about the homeland. We've said it so many times, as goes the home, so goes the nation. As goes the home, so sometimes we get it backwards. Think if we put the right people in the White House, it'll fix the nation. Well, how do those people get in the White House? They're raised in homes that teach them their values or lack thereof, and society puts them there. It's not they that got there by themselves. They had to get voted in. A majority of people had to put them there. And those people come out of homes that are being raised and trained, and then they shape the direction of the nation. Our nation was, I'll say it again, our nation was founded on Christian principles and on the Bible. Not because somebody in a government position decided that, but the homes nurtured and raised people that had the Bible as a background, and so when they found this nation, what was taught in the home became the foundation for the nation itself. So it goes from that direction. It doesn't come from the top down or from the government down. It comes from the homes going up. And as goes the home, so goes the nation. Our nation is in trouble today. And the reason our nation is in trouble is because of the homes that are feeding our nation. That's where we need to get things fixed. One guy said it this way, and I thought it was good. The welfare of the state depends on the welfare of the home. And the welfare of the home depends on the spiritual condition of the head of the home. See, that's what drives it. Whether it's the man that's the head of the home, or in a broken home, if the woman has to take that spiritual leadership for children, whatever it is, whoever is in spiritual leadership in that home, that is what's going to drive that home. And so that spiritual leader needs to have a good grounding and a good foundation and a good faith, because he or she is going to determine what is going to happen in that home and what's going to go forward from it. That's what it talks about here in the first four verses of this psalm. Notice verse 1 through 4, we'll call it this, the sanctity of our home life. The sanctity of our home life. Folks, our home ought to be a sanctuary. It ought to be a safe place from this world. How sad it is that so many Christian homes are a reflection of the world itself. That when you go into a home that's supposed to be a Christian home, it's no different. The language is no different. The music is no different. The reading material is no different. What's coming across the television is no different. It's no different than the world outside. That door, that front door you've got, ought to be more than just a figurehead. It ought to be something that keeps the world out and keeps the Lord in. That keeps the sanctity of the home inside of it. Our homes need to be different. The first thing that stands out in this psalm is the first word. Blessed. Look back over these 15, look over the psalms, the 8 that we've already looked at in these songs of degrees. And, you know, in my distress, and I will lift up my eyes, and I was glad, and unto thee, and if it had not been the Lord, and they that trust in the Lord, when the Lord, accept the Lord. Now it's blessed. A different tone is set on this one. A different attitude is taken. And the first thing that stands out is this word, blessed. Blessed, it says, is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. The sanctity of our home life. Verse 1 tells us the secret of the Lord's blessing. The secret of the Lord's blessing. I want my electric bills to be paid. I want my children to have a bed to sleep on. But you know, the most important thing I want in my home is God's blessing. There are folks that don't have electric and don't have running water and don't have a bed to sleep on. They sleep on a mat down on the floor. But if they've got God's blessing, they've got more than anybody else has. So how do we get God's blessing? Blessed, the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. I like the fact that God is an equal opportunity blesser. He's no respecter of persons when it comes to His blessing. The Bible says in verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Everyone. Doesn't matter your social standing. It doesn't matter your position. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your financial standing. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. God's blessing can be upon every single home if they would meet the condition. And the condition is fearing the Lord. Now again, you know, fearing the Lord doesn't mean you walk around thinking the ceiling's going to fall. Not thinking, you know, a brick's going to hit you in the head. But it's walking around knowing that God watches and sees all that you do and that you want to maintain a godly relationship with Him. That's the fear that's talked about. The seeker of the Lord's blessing in verse number 1. The Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Notice in verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. God has to be the center of the home. He's got to be the focus of the home. Everything else that happens has to be outside of it. He's got to be blessed, the Bible said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. It's kind of like our galaxy. Everything revolves or orbits around the sun. The sun is the main star that's in our galaxy, and the different planets, I forget how many they are because some of them aren't planets anymore. Some of them got stripped of their planethood by modern day science. But the planets that go around the sun, they orbit, they rotate around it, and the sun is the center of it. There are other things that are going on. There are shooting stars, and there are different things going on. But the sun is the center of that, of those planets that go around it. So the sun, S-O-N, needs to be the object and the center of a life that wants to have a blessed home. Jesus Christ has to be put first. God has to be invited to every meal. God has to be the center of that home. You know, the problem is, for God to be the center of the home, some other things have to get put out of the center. This world today, society, doesn't want God to take first place. Doesn't want God to be the center of anything. People today, they have lost their center. Their center is money. For a lot of people today, the center of living is just money. For many today, it's pleasure. Just doing what makes them happy. Everything's about them. Whatever I want to do, whatever I feel like doing, everything's about them. We live in a very selfish society. For a lot of people, it's causes. Whether it's saving the whales or saving the trees or saving the spotted white owl or abortion or homosexuality, whatever, people live for a cause. Can I tell you, if you're living for a cause, you're going to be disappointed. And the blessing of God isn't going to be upon you, no matter how noble the cause might be. But the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You've got to have the proper center, and that's got to be based on fearing the Lord. The Bible says, if you want to be blessed. Now, you know, a lot of times you read and you study and they say, well, the word blessed means happy. No, it doesn't. If it meant happy, he'd say happy. Down in verse number two, it says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. That's a different word. So blessed doesn't mean happy. Blessed means more than happy. It means not only being happy, it means being content. It means having joy. It means being free from guilt. It means being at peace. There's a lot more to blessed than just happy. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. And if you're blessed, you're going to be happy. There's not going to be any problem. Yeah, you ever sit back, and I hope you're not in this, but just sit back and watch the world and watch people go by, anywhere you go, any place you go, and it's just the tension you think would cut the air. Everything is a major climax. Everything is a big deal. Nobody's walking around happy and lighthearted. They all got issues to deal with. We live in a baggage society. And that's not to say if you're a Christian there aren't going to be issues. We all understand, no better than that. But it won't be the focus. The problem today is people focus on the issues. They focus on the luggage. They focus on those things. And they're not focusing on, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Someone has said, if you fear the Lord, you won't fear anything else. That doesn't mean we're not worried about some things or concerned about some things. But we're not to be full of care about anything. Be careful in nothing. And so we see we have to have the proper center, the fear of the Lord. But notice this, we also not only have to have the proper center, we've got to have the proper circumference. The end of verse 1 says this, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and blessed is everyone that walketh in His ways. Two things are required for you and I to be blessed, according to verse number 1. Number 1, God has to be the center. Number 2, His Word has to be the circumference. We walk in His ways. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he's blessed of God. When we walk outside of the boundaries of God's Word, we'll not be blessed. As a pastor, so many times you counsel with somebody and say, well, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, and maybe it's not really sinful or maybe not bad, but it's something that's hindering God's blessing in their life. And you sit down and tell them, you know, you need to clean that up or get rid of that or straighten that thing out. Well, why do I need to do it? It's not hurting me. It's depriving you of God's blessing. It's holding God's best from you. That peace that passes all understanding, that contentment that God can give. It only comes from having the proper circumference. There are some places, folks, that we just shouldn't go. Some places we don't belong as believers in Christ. Now, I'm not going to give you a checklist of them. You know where they are. Because the minute you walk in there, the Holy Spirit plucks your heart and says, I don't like going in here. This isn't the kind of place I need to be. There are some books we don't need to read. There are some things we don't need to look at, some movies we don't, on television, stuff we just don't need to watch. If our ways are going to please the Lord so that we can be blessed. You say, oh, I'm not hurting anybody. You're hurting yourself. You're depriving yourself because God's watching and seeing what you're going to do and how you're going to handle it. Are you going to give in to it? Are you going to yield to it? Or are you going to fight it off so that God can put His blessing on us? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. There are some people we shouldn't associate with. Somebody said, no, but you can't tell me who my friends are. No, we can't tell you who your friends are going to be. But we can tell you whether or not God's going to bless your friendships and your relationships. Those friendships and relationships, those associations that hinder God's blessing coming upon you, you're hurting yourself. Sometimes there's some relationships that need to be ended. Some friendships that need to be just steered aside so that God's blessing can rest upon us. The proper circumference. The quickest way to lose the blessings of God is to walk outside of His boundaries. So we find here the secret of the Lord's blessing in verse number 1. In verse 2 and 3 then we find the scope of the Lord's blessing. We know what the secret is, putting God at the center and putting His ways as our circumference. Walking in the way, getting God in the center and walking in the way that pleases Him gets the blessing. Well, what do those blessings look like? What is the scope of those blessings? Look at verse number 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. When the Lord is the center, He blesses our finances. Oh, be careful. I'm not going to preach a prosperity gospel here. I'm not going to tell you if your ways please the Lord, you'll be wealthy. But God will meet your needs. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I understand the Old Testament context in that a little bit different. I know there's exceptions to that. But God says when He is first and His ways surround us, the Bible says in verse number 2, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. He'll bless our finances. God will take care of us. Not necessarily make us wealthy. Not even necessarily make us middle class. But He'll provide our needs. He'll take care of us. Notice He'll provide through labor. Look at verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Oh, see, we've got to have that disclaimer in there. Somebody said, well, if I put God first and I walk in His ways, I'll just sit back on my couch and wait for God to have it pour in. No, He said He'll bless the labor of thy hands. God is not a welfare God. God does not do for those that don't do for themselves. The Bible says that a man ought to provide for his own, especially those of his own household. And if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Well, if our government would put into practice biblical principles, it would fix the problem. It would fix the problem. Now, a lot of people, oh, yeah, but some people wouldn't eat. Yeah, because they'll refuse to work. Oh, it's not that they refuse, they can't find it. Give it to them. See if they'll take it or not. Then you know if they'll refuse it. That'll fix the problem, but nobody's going to turn to the Bible for the solutions until the Lord comes back and everything turns around really quick. But God will bless, if He is the center and His ways are the circumference, He will bless our finances. Verse 2, He'll bless our feelings. Happy shalt thou be. Happy shalt thou be. God will bless you. You know what? Can I be selfish? I want to be happy. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be sorrowful. I don't want to be depressed. I want to be happy. You know what God says you got to do to be happy? Put Him in the center. Walk in His ways around it. And He says you'll be blessed in your finances. You'll be blessed in your feelings. You'll be blessed in your future. The end of verse 2. It shall be well with thee. It shall be well with thee. You know what fearing God is? It's your spiritual IRA. I was trying to think of the right numbers or words or letters, whatever it is. It's your spiritual retirement. Fearing God is. If you fear Him and make His ways around it, He shall take care of thee. I've met a lot of folks that were very worried about the future. Not the future as far as they're saved and redeemed and know they're going to heaven, but worried about the future down here on earth. And surely, you know, I get on Facebook and I follow, you know, well, Rush Limbaugh said this and Bill Mayer said that. I don't read any of that stuff. I don't read anything anybody says. You know why? It steals my joy. It takes away my happiness. It gets me all bottled and knotted up inside worrying about all that stuff. I don't care. I'd rather read something else that doesn't make me all bottled and knotted up inside. Something that gives me peace. Something that washes over me. Something that gives me happiness. And that's the Word of God. You say, oh, you're missing out on anything. You really think so? You think there's anything going on that 3 days from now the story's going to change and nobody's going to care about what they were talking about 3 days ago? The world just moves from one crisis to another, from one big event to another, and it all just passes on and passes off the scene as if it never happened before. And people get all worried and frustrated and upset and worked over. Somebody said happiness is the most elusive commodity in the world. Happiness, that's what people are seeking after. But they're seeking in all the wrong places. Happiness is putting God first in your life, then walking in His ways. If you do, He'll bless our finances, He'll bless our feelings. Verse 2, He'll bless our future. He said in verse 2, and it shall be well with it. You know nobody else can make that guarantee to you. Who else can guarantee you it shall be? A lot of people try to do it. Vote for me. It shall be well with thee. And then it isn't. Send your money to, and it shall be well with thee. And it isn't. God's the only one that can make that guarantee. And again, He says, put me first. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, and thou shalt eat, and it shall be well, and thou shalt be happy. He'll bless our finances, our feelings, our future. Verse number 5, He'll bless our family. That's what I want. I want God's blessing on my family, on my wife, on my children, on my grandchildren. So what do to get God's blessing there? You put God as the center of your life. You walk in His ways that surround it. For personal gain? No, not necessarily. So it'll be well with thy wife. So it'll be well with thy children. So it'll be well, verse 6, with thy children's children. He says in verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. You know, the Bible talks about a spreading vine. A spreading vine is ornamental. But the Bible says thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Not just an ornament, not just something to look at, but something that's going to be beneficial. A fruitful vine. The Bible says thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Somebody said it this way. A vine clings. A vine will cling. And that ought to be the relationship between a man and his wife. Bible said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Same thing, cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Our society would benefit today if husband and wife would have more clinging. Not necessarily in public, but just have more clinging, have more commitment. That's what a vine does. A vine clings. And then a vine climbs. It doesn't lay on the ground. It doesn't crawl horizontally over your head, it climbs up the walls. It climbs vertically and goes up. That indicates growth. When a man's ways please the Lord, when he's fearing God and walking in His ways, there's going to be a wonderful relationship between he and his spouse. Because when he's doing what's right and what's pleasing to God, it's going to please his wife also. And she's going to cling to Him, to cleave to Him. She's also going to climb. She's going to grow in the things of God. Third thing about a vine is that it clings, it climbs, and it clusters. And that's what it says here in verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. I read some statistics just the other day in World Magazine that America is the only country right now in the world that is producing enough children to sustain it in future generations. They, you know, they get to the statistics that it requires 2.1 children per family. 2.1 children, I always wanted to see that 0.1 child. See what that looks like. And maybe I don't want to see what that looks like. And then they went through all these nations in Europe and China where it's allowed one per family. Many in Europe, because of the economy and the socialism and all that, it's 1.7. There's those 0.7 there. There's 1.7 or 1.8 in all these different countries. And it's that America is the only country that is producing enough to sustain itself and reproduce. Remember, they used to talk about a population overflow. Well, I guess we're not concerned about that. They're concerned about us sustaining our current level right now. Of course, 40 years of abortion? That's pretty much wiped out any growth we could have had before that. But the Bible says that thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Remember we saw up in chapter 127, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. God blesses the big family. God blesses the large family. It's not that He doesn't bless a small one, but God's interested in the size of that family. And it says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, thy children like olive plants. So we talked about the vine. And it says about the children, they shall be like olive plants. You know, it's interesting to read about olive plants are, you're going to like this, wild by nature. Okay, now again, look at the verse. Thy children shall be like olive plants. Isn't it amazing how God chooses the very best things to give us the picture that He wants us to get? And when He picks something to liken unto children, He picks olive plants. Those that are wild by nature. They can grow anywhere. They can grow on rocky sand. They can grow on ragged ground. They can grow just about anywhere. They'll get along just fine. But for the first 7 years, they don't bear any fruit. They need constant care and constant nurturing and constant watching over for the first 7 years before they first begin to bud. You know what the theme of the Catholic Church used to be? Give us your children for 7 years. You can have them after that. You know why? They know that the first 7 years shape that person for the rest of their life. Here the Bible says that those children are going to be like an olive plant that for 7 years take all that nurturing and all that care. At 7 years they begin to bud. At about 10 to 14 they begin to bear fruit for the first time. And then after they become mature, all they need is a little bit of supervision from that point on. And the Bible takes that very plant and likens children to it. The Bible says in verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. God will bless our family if He is at the center of it. And His ways are the circumference of it. That's the scope of God's blessing. Then look at verse 4 and we see the surety of God's blessing. Verse number 1 was the secret of God, the Lord's blessing. Verse 2 and 3, the scope of God's blessing. Verse 4 is the surety of it. Verse 4 is a repeat of verse 1. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. God only has to say something one time for it to be true. So when He repeats it, He's simply emphasizing it. Verse 1 and 4 are bookends for verse 2 and 3 in the middle, telling us the scope of God's blessing. God's blessing surrounds our family, our finances, our future. It surrounds it if we walk in His ways and if He is the center of our life, the sanctity of our home. The sanctity of our home life. Then verse 5 and 6, the sanctity of our homeland. The security of our homeland. The security of our homeland. I'm thankful for our military. I am. I'm thankful for those that are serving in Afghanistan. For those that were in Iraq. For those that were in the Desert Storm. For those back in the Vietnam era, for those in Korea, for World War II, For every battle and every person that's gone off to fight for this country, I am thankful for that. I'm thankful for a country right now that has the best military in the world. The technology that we have surpasses anybody except maybe one, and that's Israel. They've got amazing things nobody else knows about. That's all there is to it. I am thankful for the military power, the military might, for everything that protects our nation. I'd rather have our wars being fought in Iraq and Afghanistan than California or New York City. And those that are so eager to pull them out of those other countries just don't see the future. So I'm thankful for our military and what it does for us. But you know where the security of our nation really lies? It lies in the godly homes. It lies in the production of citizens and people that are going to fear God. So we find here in verse 5 and 6, then the security of the homeland. The security is not going to come from our military power or might. It's not going to come from our bureaucrats and politicians. It's going to come from fearing God. Verse number 5 says, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The blessing of a godly home is going to spill over to a godly nation. And so we need that blessing upon God. It is the home that produces our leaders. I don't want to get too far into this now, but Santorum, Romney, Gingrich, Ron Paul, Rick Perry, Barack Obama. I fear for our nation. I see nobody that's going to take us into any prosperity. And folks, I'm just telling you how I feel. I understand anybody's better than what we got. But we know what we got. We don't know what we might get. Sometimes which is better? Knowing what you got or not knowing what you're going to get? Whatever we get will be better than that. Amen. Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. We better get God in the center of that thing. We put God right in the middle of that. We've got a guy that's a Muslim, Christian, whatever. Replace it with a Mormon. I don't know. We need to watch what we have. The security of our homeland is not going to be based on anybody that's running for election right now. Now again, I'm all for voting. I voted. I voted yesterday. I'm all for doing that and what we need to do. But we need to make sure that God is the center, that God is the focus, and that our ways surround and please Him. We need people in leadership that are like that. We need people in office that are going to be like that, and we haven't seen one of those, I'm afraid, in a long, long time. The security of our homeland is based on the center. Look at verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion is the governmental headquarters of the New Jerusalem. The governmental headquarters of the millennial reign of Christ. All right? Out of Zion shall he come forth. Zion is in the center of Jerusalem. It's the Senate. It's the Congress. It's the Council. And the Bible says that God's blessing is going to come out of that place. It's going to come out of Zion. It's the governmental head. We need God-fearing people in the center of our government. Those are going to put God first, and His principles are going to be surrounded by it. That's the center of it. Then in verse number 5, we find the city. It says, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. From the center, it's going to spread out. From the center, when the Lord comes back, Psalms write about this so many times, He's going to come back and sit on the throne of David. That's Zion. He's going to sit on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And from there, He's going to rule and reign. And from that seat, it's going to come out into the city of Jerusalem. And peace is going to cover the earth. It's going to come from that place, verse 6. And it's going to spread to the country all the way, and peace upon Israel. God's blessing, the security of our homeland, is going to be when our leaders fear God. When they fear God, they're not going to worry about which winds the political winds go. They're not going to fear about, well, do the people like this or not like this? Do they agree with this or not agree with this? What'll get me votes? What'll get me popularity? And folks, you know, the problem is, to be a politician, you have to worry about those things. To be successful in politics, you have to be worried about what the people voting for you say. And the Bible tells us there's going to be one coming one of these days that isn't going to care what anybody says. He's going to sit down on that throne in Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign. And if people say, well, you know, I don't like this principle, it isn't going to change. I don't like this thing. I don't like that. Now, first of all, they won't dare say that to him in that day. But the Lord's blessing, the Lord's security is in the hand of God. And as a nation, as a home, as a family, whatever it is, God has to be put first. Now, do you understand why we need revival? You understand why America needs to be turned back to God? Because her focus is not on God. Her focus is on, you know, pick up the paper today. See the headlines, look at the secondary story, the third story, read from page 1 to page 5 to 6, and find how many times pleasing God or acknowledging Him is even recorded. Not once. Never appears. And yet society moves on and moves forward and goes from Monday to Tuesday and Tuesday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Thursday. That's why the Bible says God is not in all their thoughts. God is not. In all their thoughts, they never one time stop and think about God. They never one time stop to consider Him. This is a family psalm, Psalm 128, and shows us that if our homes would be right, our nation will be right. We try to fix the nation when the problem is in the homes. I met someone today. I was at the chiropractor this morning getting fixed. And the lady that works there at the counter, her kids and my older kids used to go to Christian school together here in Byesville. And I was sitting there waiting to see the doctor, and she said, I wish we had a Christian school. You know how many times people tell me that? I wish we had a Christian school like we had back then. I said, yeah, I wish we did too. And then I sat there for a minute and thought, I wonder why. So I went over and talked to her. I said, whenever nobody's around, I said, why did you say that? What's going on? She began to share with me what her kindergartner is experiencing in the public school system right now. Folks, our nation's in trouble. There's just no two ways about it. Our nation is trouble, and our younger generations are not going to be fixed and have the solution the way things are going right now. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our homes. We need to put God in the center of everything and His ways as the circumference, because then blessed is that man. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.